go. The wooden wagon coming around now. That's what we use to spread the news and opinion for almost, well, 3 hours. Yeah, that's what we do. And it's a combination of news and opinion known as News Mueller to so many people. Tom used to drive it, and I didn't know he was faking it the whole time. It's self-driving. Who knew, Tom? Always a celebrity holding a teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar. Let's see who's on the wagon today.
No, there's no way I can handle a case, man.
Right.
I'm screwed. I'm gonna go to jail, and I'll pay, and Johnny Utah gets this guy.
Okay.
Look at it, Johnny. Look at it! This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, man.
Yeah, Johnny!
Patrick Swayze. Point Break. Keanu Reeves reaches up with the key and unlocks him. He runs out and gets into the wave. And the cop yells, "We'll get him when he comes back!" Keanu Reeves goes, "He's not coming back."
Oh! Is that a movie you've actually seen?
No, I just watched that clip. All right, here we go.
I thought not.
I have no idea what was happening there, but apparently he's into surfing and dying. All right. I can tell just that little clip.
Yeah, it's a hell of a movie.
Ooh, let's see. The Reign, Eastern known as the Seattle Reign, it's women's soccer. They've announced that they're going to move to Tacoma. And they're dropping the name Seattle, so I would assume they would include the name Tacoma.
Wrong.
Why not? Why not throw Tacoma in
there? I think this is great news for Tacoma. I think it's great when somebody uproots from Seattle and moves to Tacoma. Maybe Tacoma will rally around them, unlike Seattleites did. But unfortunately for Tacoma, they will not have the delight of seeing their name in their official name. They were Seattle Reign FC, and now they're going to be Reign FC.
Uh-huh.
When asked about that, they said, "Oh,
you, you want to hear from the guy, the owner?"
Oh, we do. Oh,
hey,
even better.
Hey, it's the owner.
Little things like seats without splinters.
This is why he's moving to Tacoma.
Okay,
because
yeah.
They played Memorial Stadium, which is an old stadium, and you can't serve beer.
That's right.
All right. Turf
seats, bathrooms that you didn't mind being in, and beer. They all make a difference.
And beer. Okay.
You got more?
I got Megan Rapinoe.
Rapinoe.
Mm-hmm. She says,
"First of all, play on grass. This is going to add 5 years to my career. So that'll be nice. But genuinely, it seems like a huge opportunity for the club and to grow the game and for women's football."
Okay.
One of the interesting things about it, things are so bad at Memorial Stadium that they claim they lost nationally televised casts because the aesthetics at Memorial weren't up to network standards.
Oof.
So it didn't even match that. So I think this is all to the good. They're going to play at Cheney Stadium for a while, but apparently they're going to have their own Tacoma soccer-specific stadium built, which will be, I don't know, I haven't heard any of the how that's going to work, who's going to pay for it and all. But still, I mean, if they can take hold in Tacoma, I think that would be great. They said there's just too much competition in Seattle for the entertainment dollar, and they feel like maybe in Tacoma they have a chance to take off. And we do have, I mean, we have Hope Solo, Megan Rapinoe. I mean, they've won World Cups. They've won the Olympic Games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are the individuals. I mean, they are really good players.
Yeah. Well, what do you think? Think it'll work?
I don't know enough about Tacoma dynamics. I'm hoping so, yeah. So I'll say yes.
So what would be the difference between the possible fan of women's soccer in Tacoma and the possible women's fan in Tacoma and Seattle? Compare the two.
I'm thinking that it might be like in Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City Thunder are huge, bigger than they were maybe when they were in Seattle, at least on our last days, because it's one of the few things happening in Oklahoma City. Maybe Tacoma will be able to rally around that and support them, seeing as a kind of Tacoma-specific team, and because of that local fervor might be there. But
okay.
it certainly didn't exist here in Seattle, unfortunately. They had under fewer than 4,000 fans a game, and at that was the tipping point. They said, "Boy, if that's the case, and you'll have a better stadium, you'll be playing on grass, and as you mentioned, they'll be able to serve booze, which could be crucial."
I was always shocked as a season ticket holder to the Storm that there weren't more people there.
Yeah,
and it's great basketball, and they cared about you, and they wanted you in the stands, and they did that for you, and the players went out of their way to make you always feel welcome. I mean, I'd never seen a person of their ability, Sue Bird, Lauren Jackson, right?
Yeah.
World champions.
Yeah.
Walk over to people. Everybody, you at the end of the game, you're on the court talking to them, and they're throwing T-shirts to you.
Yeah.
They could have had them up. We used to have Simone Edwards over to our house for dinner. That's how much we love the Storm. So it's like, boy, they and still.
Yeah.
People that care about basketball or people that care about soccer, do they want to see the guys play or do they want to see the women play? It seems like they've made the choice. They want to see the guys play rather than the women, even though, for instance, with the Storm, that they were world champions.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
And you can't grow the base.
I mean, I think there is a sort of a built-in prejudice or bias against women's sports. But still, there is a market. I mean, right now, look at tennis. Women's tennis was nowhere when I was in grade school. I mean, women playing tennis was not what anybody paid attention to. And now women's tennis is as big, if not bigger, than men's tennis.
Mm. By the way, does it matter that Meghan is somewhat political? She kneeled at a couple of different things, I guess, in protest with what Colin Kaepernick was kneeling for, right?
Yeah, in alignment with Colin Kaepernick. What's interesting about this, I didn't realize this, so she did this a couple of times, and as soon as she did, she says, the soccer league immediately said, okay, you are not going to be able to play in this league if you kneel. I mean, they took a really strong stand, unlike the NFL, and so she felt like her livelihood was threatened, but she thinks that's unfair.
I see. All right. Let's see. It was Tony Romo. If you ever watch him make calls, boy, the guy is now in the booth after playing the Dallas Cowboy quarterback. And as Tom pointed out, it was like an epiphany for you.
Yes.
Watching the Patriots play in the fourth quarter when Tony Romo made a series of predictions as to what the play would be, and he was trying to explain why it is that the quarterback for the Patriots, I don't like to say his name, is so
TB
good.
TB12.
Is so good.
Yes.
And now the Wall Street Journal has a fun piece on, they decided they would watch and a bunch of calls, and they've looked at all these calls to see how accurate Tony Romo is.
Every single one of them. All 2,599 calls.
We watched about 2,500 players over nearly 50 hours of Tony Romo calling games this season, and found a total of 72 predictions. Here's what we found out. He's been right in some pretty memorable situations. Romo called 11 plays in the fourth quarter and overtime of the Patriots' win in the AFC Championship.
Was that the game you watched?
Yes.
Okay.
With more than 50 million people watching, he was right in the biggest moments of the game.
Brock's not offside. You got to chip with him, and throw to Edelman over the middle of the field. Pass down the middle. Caught. Edelman holds.
Just like he called it.
Gone. I got to put Gronkowski out wide. They've got to get him. He's your guy when it's one-on-one. They finally got him. There he is.
And Brady goes down the field to Gronk. Turns around, makes the catch.
Another one right.
What a call. Romo Stradamos.
New England tried to play action earlier. I can't see it here. This has to be a run.
Second and goal to Burkhead. Burkhead to the end zone.
I mean, that was phenomenal, but I've got to say, even more impressive to me, in the first quarter, before anything was on the line, he would just explain why Tom Brady is as successful as he is. And he says, okay, look at this alignment. And this, as the play is developing, you know, before it's hiked, he says, okay, look at the way a guy on defense is moving over here. That means that this guy will be freed up. These two guys are rushing in. Clearly, they're going to try to go after Brady. So here's what Brady sees. Right now, he's going to throw right to the center of the field because this guy is not covered by that guy and all this. And boom, he just explained why it's so easy for Tom Brady to do everything he does, because he sees the field exactly the way Brady does, being a pro quarterback. So impressive.
Wall Street Journal continues, Romo isn't perfect.
Of course, he did get some calls wrong.
Hey, use Hopkins here. One-on-one down at the bottom. Just throw a touchdown. Throw back shoulder right to the end zone right now.
That's Ellington. You circle. He's got Rowe on him. Instead, they're going to run it with Miller, and he's going to lose a yard.
Yeah.
He predicted wrong, but he probably predicted the play that they should have run and done better with.
How often is he right?
We calculated that he was right on 68% of his predictions. Now, that might be close to a failing grade on a math test, but if you consider the sheer number of plays that any team can run from any given formation, it's a pretty impressive hit rate.
And I'm going to go ahead and throw this fade outside.
That's Chark at the top of the screen. They're looking his way. The rookie, and it is.
Another quick handoff right here.
This is a football on the radio.
But unlike most psychics, if Tony Romo misses a prediction during the Super Bowl, with the whole world watching, at least he doesn't take it too seriously.
I want Benjamin up top, right there, one-on-one, and I'm throwing him the ball.
Going to go ground. Or Ivory.
Or you could run it for five. It's good either way.
It is fun because it adds another element to the game.
Yes.
Rather than the color guy just giving the additional color. When he's making the prediction, it's like, well, let's see if he's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love him in the booth. He is really fun to listen to.
I've been watching football all my life, and he makes things clearer to me than ever before.
Let's see. McConnell decides that says that a bill that would make Election Day a federal holiday is just a power grab by the Democrats. You and I have said this for a long time. I think there's other countries that make Election Day a holiday.
That's
you
right.
also called for the Monday after the Super Bowl to be a holiday. Right? Didn't
some,
you?
No, I didn't, but some people did.
I thought you were in on that one. Here's your Senate Majority Leader.
But they aren't stopping there, Mr. President. Democrats also want taxpayers on the hook for generous new benefits for federal bureaucrats and government employees. Their bill would make Election Day a new paid holiday for government workers. A brand new week of paid vacation for every federal employee who'd like to hover around while you cast your ballot? A power grab that's smelling more and more like exactly what it is.
See, power grab.
I think just that makes him look bad. The problem is that the argument, in general, the consensus is that if everybody in the country voted, the Democrats would do better. The Democrats tend to do better when they have more people voting, and Republicans tend to do better when there are fewer people voting. And so this, if you made the election a national holiday, the assumption is, from McConnell's point of view, and maybe from the Democrats, that more people would vote. I don't know if that's true or not. People might think of it as a vacation to, you know, take a 3-day holiday or something and not vote. But the idea is if more people voted, and I think he's just being a little too transparent in his disdain for this by saying, we're just paying for another, you know, bunch of federal bureaucrats to get a paid holiday. No, the idea is to honor the tradition of democracy by making it a holiday. That's the suggestion. I just think he played this wrong in terms of political.
Knowing Mitch McConnell, this is probably part of a long list of what was also in the bill that he had a problem with, which is, extending the benefits to federal workers.
If it's a federal holiday, that's unavoidable. But it just sounds like he's trying to not have more people vote is the look. But, that's his argument. I don't know if it's going to get through or not. But
No. I don't think. Is he saying? Did he actually say more people would vote?
The reason he thinks it's a power grab by the Democrats is that the Democrats will, the vote totals for the Democrats they expect will go up.
Right, because you'd have more union guys getting the day off to get into a van to drive around to pick up people and drive them to the polls. Or go by and help people fill out their ballots.
The Republicans did that in North Carolina, and now they're in trouble for it. That's why they haven't seated one of their people.
We'll actually learn that from the Dems, but they still have a
caught.
They have perfected it. I talked to a guy when it was Election Day, and I went to the parking garage down near Pioneer Square, and he said, we used to call it Ice Cream Day. And I said, why? He goes, we grew up in Louisiana, and if you voted, they would give you $5. The union guys gave my mom $5. And this guy's an older black guy, Tom. And he goes, and my mom would say, hey, it's ice cream day. So when ice cream day was the fact that $5 was given to you by the union guy if you voted the way they wanted you to vote in Louisiana. So then he goes, we'd all go out for ice cream.
$5 seems awfully steep.
Does it seem like a lot of money? Yeah, well, that's his memory of it.
Yeah.
And imagine that, a corrupt politician in Louisiana. let's see, Domino's rewards customer for buying pizza. Even from its competitors. Have you seen this?
Yes. I think this is brilliant on their part. Basically, they want you to, you have to sign up for their app, give them your information, and prove that you've eaten pizza. And if you do it over a series, you have to gain like 100 points. So you do this 10 times, then you get one free pizza. And the cool thing about this ad is that they're doing, you don't have to take a picture of a Domino's pizza. You can be eating somebody else's pizza. But they figure it's worth it because what you're doing is you're giving them information on their app. And so you get a free pizza, a free Domino's pizza. I think it's probably a smart marketing.
Are you a Domino's guy if you had to order pizza? No.
No.
No. Where do you get it from?
I tend to pick up wherever, but, Domino's is not where I, seek it out. When I spent a lot of time in the U District, I was a Pagliacci guy.
Aha.
But You know, I'm not that particular. I just wouldn't seek out Domino's.
I have been continuing my streak since January 1st. Pizza
Oh, that's right. We should ask you. Are you
last
a Domino's
night I had
guy?
Pizza, and I didn't know Domino's? That pesto makes me gassy. And wow, I was going off like an old Civil War cannon. It was
how can you
not
be your age and not have pesto before to realize that you're gassy?
I had a lot of pesto. It was a pesto and pesto on top of pesto, and man, oh man, it was bad.
So, what's your pizza of choice? I mean, you know, make.
I
not
don't
style.
I don't care.
You don't care.
No.
So as far as you know, it could have been a Domino's.
I used to like Pagliacci because they had a pizza named after me.
What, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What was the
John Curley? It was a lot of ham and very cheesy. Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes,
oh, that's
sir.
Great.
And I used to order it all the time because they wanted to keep it on the menu.
Yeah.
And then the guy goes, "Okay, last name?" I said, "Curly." And he go, "Okay, is this delivery pickup?" And I'd say, "It's pickup." And he goes, "Okay, so one John Curley for, are you John Curley?"
Is this a joke?
No.
Yeah.
And I'd go,
"No.
Yeah, I am." And he goes, "And you're ordering your own pizza?"
Yeah.
And I was like, "Yeah, I kind of like it." And I mean, I single-handedly kept
it alive.
I kept it alive.
2 weeks.
No. It was on for a long time.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
You know, that's sort of like me buying a case of Tom and Curly beer at my local grocery store. Hey, is that you on the cover? No.
What the heck? When we had our beer, I used to take our beer and put it in front of other beers. Did you ever do that?
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
I'd push the stuff to
lock
the back.
It
it's just like, this is a big thing of this summer ale, the Tom and Curly thing.
You know, we had a market ham and very cheesy John Curly pizzas.
Well, Pagliacci had it.
Yeah,
I'd be curious if it's on some type of secret menu. If you can still order it today,
oh,
and they'll
during the commercial break.
Right,
Andrew, will you do that?
Order it by phone.
You order it
and deliver it here.
If we just want to find out if they have it, stop trying to already get free food. No, we need to see if they have it and order it here.
And if they do, order it and have it here.
Here's my credit card. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the fact that B. Smith, beloved by so many, she was sort of I keep saying she's the Black Martha Stewart, but she's more than that. She really, I've met her once in Washington, D.C.
Oh, you did.
She had an incredible personality, huge following, great big heart. Unfortunately, she diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
Her husband, who she's been with for a good long time, is got someone in the house with him.
As a helper.
As a helper.
And both of them.
People are very, very upset. Come right back. Online Trading Academy text line, 98973. Come on in, everybody. Do love to hear from you. Are we going to reach out to... We're behind enemy lines. Have we decided we're going
to
do that?
I was going to try to have a conversation with Andy.
Rather than just saying it on the air right now?
Yes.
Exposing all. Okay, let's say.
Let's throw it out right
this
now.
This was a listener's suggestion.
Someone in the 425, sent us a text. Let's have, could you guys have Andy from the Road Less Traveled, a famous Pats fan, on as the Behind Enemy Lines guest. Mm-hmm. We've reached out to him to see if he's interested. Haven't heard that back yet, but I'm sure he'll return the call.
He writes every day, longtime listener to the show, and often puts down at the bottom, "Go Pats."
Go Pats.
And
always.
Not a fan of mine.
No, I hope not.
So we'd love, so Friday, so tomorrow, we'd have him
tomorrow,
on.
Is our Super Bowl preview.
That's the plan. Okay.
It's up to you, Andy. We're all counting on you.
A lot happened during the commercial break. Not only a call out to Andy, but then Andrew gets on the phone and calls Pagliacci Pizza to find out if the John Curley pizza is still on the menu.
It is not, but they can still make it.
The guy remembered it.
Yeah, the recipe.
As I used to order
how hard
so many
is ham
times.
And very cheesy?
A lot of ham and very cheesy.
A lot of ham and very cheesy.
Okay. And
I'm about to give him a call to order right now.
Okay. And then they're going to deliver it here.
Yes.
And then you guys are all going to enjoy the John Curley.
Of course.
Right. Then I can come into the newsroom and yell, "Eat me." About that. All right. Oh, quiet, Ursula. Explain that top to everybody that's watching right now.
What's that?
Explain it. It's very blingy.
It is. It's called an Asa Kaftan.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, it's definitely bejeweled for sure. And I've winterized it. It's really for cruising.
Oh, okay.
I'm getting ready for a cruise in a couple of weeks.
I see. Okay.
Well, John's got some tips for you if you're going on a cruise.
By the way, people use the word cruising as a verb. It's not cruising. It's eating. Yeah. That's what it is.
I know.
All right. There's a couple of really successful restaurants in Washington, D.C., and there's cookbooks that line the shelves of many people across the United States of a woman that, unless you're sort of in on what was happening in D.C. and then also really into cooking, Bee Smith, she's 69 years old. I had a chance to talk to her once when I was doing a really crappy talk show in D.C. And
wow.
She was fun. She came on and cooked. She's just a bubbly personality. As perfect as Martha Stewart is, Bee Smith is real. The difference was is that I noticed that was she was doing all her own cooking. That was her own personality. Martha had like 10 or 15 staff working on the cherry tomatoes. Bee Smith, great woman. Yeah. And now there's a new chapter to her life, which is she'd been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. I think she's had it for 5 years. Her husband, Dan Gaspy, and her have been together for I don't know how long. But once she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, eventually
26 years
they've been together. Yeah. Well, it turns out that Dan decides he needs some help, and he brings someone into the home, which has now caused problems.
She was a mass communicator on a personal level.
Was Dan talking about his wife?
And then she got the opportunity through television and pictures and different mediums to communicate her inner self through her outer beauty.
Spice Festival, right?
The smile. Nobody who ever meets her not remarks how amazing her smile is because it comes from her soul. When you had everything in the form of a person, the perfect person for you, and you watch them slowly dissolve, and you go down with them, and took me into depths of despair and depression that no one will ever really understand.
He wrote on Facebook that I can't let my wife take my life away.
Well, first off, just to understand how he's written a book. My wife has read the book that he wrote about what it was like for them to discover that she had. Imagine whoever you happen to be married to, you find out she has Alzheimer's. This was relatively early onset of Alzheimer's, what that was like and how hard it is on him. Now he continues to have a Facebook page that he shares with his wife, and he recently posted a picture of himself with a woman with a thick blonde mane and delicate features, how it's described in the Washington Post.
Right.
And it turns out that this woman is named Alex Lerner, and she saw him at a bar when he was enveloped.
Well, he explains why he got involved with
someone. Actually
have
him.
Here he is.
I've been married for 26 years. I've been with B 27 and a half years. Alex and I are now going on a year and a half being together. I believe in the sanctity of marriage, but I don't believe death do you part means that because you made a commitment, if the person is not there, that you should sit there and watch your life shrivel up. And that's why I am where I am today, taking care of B and having someone else in my life. Mm.
Yeah, this is what's really controversial about that. He, in effect, is living with his wife and his girlfriend.
Well, the girlfriend says,
Dan always says, you know what? I wish you guys had met years before and had gotten a chance to get closer because I could have seen you the best of girlfriends. And I feel that being around her because when I come here, she's always excited to see me. I'm always excited to see her. As awkward as it may seem on the outside, it doesn't seem awkward on the inside.
Mm.
Yeah, this is a touchy situation, and there's a flip side that actually has been portrayed in not only books but movies as well, and that is that a lot of times an Alzheimer patient is put into like a memory care place, and that Alzheimer patient ends up creating emotional bonds with other Alzheimer's patients. And the question is, does the person who's married to that person, should he or she feel jealous, depending on who the one has Alzheimer's, or should you encourage that? Because with Alzheimer's, you lose your memory of who you are
and your relationships and connections.
Exactly. And so if that is allowed, and I think this happened with Sandra Day O'Connor, and again, I don't remember the details enough, but there was this great Oscar-nominated movie called Away From Her, starring Julie Christie, about this kind of incident and how hard it was for the husband who put his wife into this situation, and then the wife developed, sort of romantic feelings for somebody in there, and the movie seems to kind of say, yeah, this is okay. I mean, this is how people with Alzheimer's cope. Mm-hmm. To me, the deciding factor is they have a daughter named Dana, and Dana says that she does not feel like her father has abandoned his mother. She says he still lives with her. He still takes care of her. They live together. And the fact that, you know, that Alex is also in the arena is okay with her. They think that that's fine. There are people that are outraged by this and feel like he's cheating mm-hmm. on her. By some easy definitions, he is. The question is, do we make any allowances for dealing with somebody with Alzheimer's who isn't aware of what she would have been aware of in normal circumstances?
People have also come across the same decision when it comes to wife in vegetative state. Can I date?
Yes. I think it's similar.
Very similar. So the person is not, because as far as he's concerned, the Bee Smith that he's known and loved for 26 years is no longer there.
Yes.
Right. And you could talk to her and if she is communicating?
Yeah. Well, I mean, she communicates in kind of sometimes like nonsense or, you know, mm-hmm. occasionally phrases that you'd recognize. It's quoted at the end. She's saying things like, what's his name? What's her name? I'm trying to think. So she can still speak English, but most of her personality is gone, and a lot of times it's just a gibberish.
Here's Dan's daughter talking about the situation.
Okay. I remember he was like, I want to talk to you about something. And I was like, oh, what? You're dating? And he was like, how'd you know? And I was like, I've been 16, I've been 18, I've hid stuff from parents. She's an asset. She's putting in time. She's putting in work. And so I love them together. They make sense.
There you go. You think if the woman wasn't white, people wouldn't be upset?
Well, that's the other thing. He says, hey, I wonder how much of this criticism of me is racist in the fact that he's loving a white woman in the home of his black wife. Again, we don't know the circumstances.
But is he getting crap from white people or from black people?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you're identified on Facebook when you're getting crap. But I mean, he puts himself out for that, though, because it's
picture.
Can you? Okay.
Yeah. But just, you know, he's...
I can imagine.
If the woman was black that he's got as a girlfriend, would he get as much pushback from the black community saying, where have you placed your black wife who we all love, we've loved her for years, and you got some white chick in there?
His suggestion is that it is worse now. I can imagine there are a lot of people that would be upset about this arrangement, no matter what the race of either of the, all three of them.
But it adds an extra element of sting for people. Right?
Yeah, it could.
Yeah.
It shouldn't, but it does.
Yeah, it does. All right, let's see. Are we all set for the pizza? He's still on the phone?
We decided we're going to wait till tomorrow, but we are still planning to do it. They were going to take a little bit too long. Uh-huh. I don't want to wait around.
Okay.
I don't either.
So we can have it during the show.
We
should eat it during the
show.
That'd be ideal.
People love
that.
Yeah. People eating into the microphone.
Yeah, chewing during the no-walkers.
Our numbers on TV will shoot up dramatically into the double
digits. Dory comes in here and complains about food particles in the microphone. And I don't want to have to say
it. Are you afraid of Dory?
No, but I don't want to have to defend the John Curley pizza.
Okay. I hear it's very hammy and very cheesy.
All right. Tom's like, we could walk in there and order that.
I wonder if we can.
We can.
Next time I'm at Pagliacci's, I'm going to say, I want a John Curley.
We'll come right back. All right. Now, Care Partners Senior Living, thanks for sponsoring the mail. And I have a feeling it's probably going to be a lot of it. So here comes the mailman now.
I'm the mailman, as you can see, I'm the mailman, don't nobody mess with me, I'm the mailman, if you didn't know, I'm the mailman, I bring the mail to your door.
Yes.
I own a lot of underwear.
Yes.
That's awkward, isn't it?
Hello!
Hey, teeny tiny lady, now breaking the tension. So you're going to tell us about that letter of the day. First, let us get started.
We'll start off with the controversial Roosevelt cartoon.
Uh-oh.
Area code 206 weighs in. Who is the artist, and what is the message they are trying to convey?
Mm-hmm. 206. John's correct. We paid the Times to bring facts, not judge us, and have to research through our media. They are justifying subscription cancellations.
425. Curly constantly interrupts Tom, not letting him finish his point, and yet complains that he himself can't get his point in.
Right.
Don't worry, Curly. We hear you. Let Tom talk, too.
That's right. Larry West, Seattle. Curly came out swinging. Tom counterpunched with precision. Now, that's verbal sparring that we are used to. Thought Jacob was going to have to invoke the concussion protocol and send them to the little tent. I suggest the following subjects for real fireworks. Tom's critique of Old Evening Magazine returns, starring Curly, who needed a fact check more. Trump or John? Whose personality is taller? And are Tom's injuries, illness, or sign of hypochondria?
Very good.
Thank you very much, Larry.
And the Roosevelt cartoon continued. Andy and the Road Less Traveled weighs in. I've noticed that the last two Thursdays, John, returning from his laudable volunteering, has seemed somewhat more psychotically cynical than usual, but he usually bounces back by 11.
Yeah.
So if I may suggest, in the future, should he undertake something of an altruistic nature, maybe have the lovely and warm-hearted Ursula meet him at the door with a soft blankie, a cookie, some hot cocoa, and calm words until he's calmed down. Okay. Have a great day, and go, Pat. I thought you didn't like that sound.
I don't like this one.
Wrong!
Admissions testing, Daryl and Federal Way, unleaded gasoline, catalytic converters, and emission controls were something that came from the government mandates for cleaner emissions for motor vehicles. Go to some of the countries where no such regulations exist, and thus free market defines what comes out of the exhaust, and try to breathe sometime.
Jacob in Tacoma, I'm so annoyed. All these years I've paid for my emissions test and sat in that stupid line just waiting for my pickup to age out of being required to get tested. This year was finally my last year before the pickup aged out, and here's the government sticking it to me again, taking money from for as long as they possibly could.
Yeah.
All those years and the program is over. I want my $15 back, or I'm going to punch a hole in my catalytic converter.
360 says, of course they want to get rid of emissions as soon as my car becomes a classic.
Erotic Swedish audiobooks we talked about. 425. Really? That was erotic Swedish? No wonder I always get a little tingle every time the Swedish chef makes an appearance on the Muppets.
By the way, we looked it up. FCC would have fined us because if a speaker of that language was offended, then we could be in trouble.
Wow, is that right? Right?
Yeah. Okay. Roanoke Conference Jokes, 425. Wow, karaoke and killer jokes. I got to hang with you conservatives more. Those guys are party animals.
Yeah, when you think party, you think Rob McKenna. Strawn Forsman.
J.T. Wilcox.
425. Is the man in charge the long arm of the straw?
Oh, good one. Fox Island G. Solution, melt all the plastic straws down into a giant Dutch oven. Then pour the recycled plastic onto faux electric eel molds to satisfy the needs of those erotically overcharged dolphins. And everybody wins. We worked them all in there.
Yeah. And 425. What address do I send a gavel in to Tom?
That's right. Need that. Eric and Botha once made famous by their show, God picked Trump to win. I can't believe I heard that on the radio. I attribute a lot of things to God, like stars at night, the flowers, the wild animals, and life itself. However, as to Trump and presidency, I have elected to attribute his presidency to God's sense of humor. He is, after all, also responsible for platypuses and tree sloths and lionfish. Trump may also be a message to all of us to pay more attention to what's going on.
On the doggy bucket list, Joseph weighs in. The doggy bucket list story made me laugh so hard. A real dog's bucket list would be something as follows. Number one, sleep. Number two, eat. Number three, chase motorcycles. Four, eat my own poo. Mm-hmm. Five, pee somewhere in the house where I won't get caught. Any other list is demonstrably false.
By the way, save some of those for drops.
Okay.
Pee somewhere in the house and not get caught. And eat my own poop. Joey the Garbage Man, you can't get a hangover if you stop drinking. And 360 says... If you don't stop.
Yeah.
And 360 says there was a cure for hangovers. It came out 20 years ago. It was a big deal. People worried people would get drunk without the threat of a hangover.
Too drunk, yeah. Mm-hmm. And 206, guys, regarding hangovers, thank you to Rachel Tesh. Now I have finally found the frozen cure. Perhaps a super frozen slushie will shock the system, too.
Parental leave, 206. Okay, so when these people take their lengthy parental leaves, who takes on their workload? Where I work, the rest of us have to bear the load. It sucks. Okay. Sorry, there is more to it, but we don't have time. Yeah, stop doing it.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
Letter of the day, Tom.
Comes from Larry in accounting.
Oh, no.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
I'm getting pretty dang tired of you, Curly. You, of all people, disparaging my character. I've never gone on and on about Ursula's boots. I've never had relations in a coffin and repeatedly boasted about it. And I've not ever, ever played erotic Swedish literature across the public airwaves. I'll say this, though. I do now have an unnatural craving, nudge, nudge, for Swedish fish. Okay, gotta go. Got another meeting with Donna and all the prudes in HR. Man, when will they lighten up?
The guy is a menace.
I guess so. To you.
Out of time. Bye-bye.